our imagination, a comedy, mystery, a fireside chat. Together we sat, listening nightly to our favorite shows, radio. Oh, why did you ever go? Oh, won't you please come back and entertain us? I long to turn the dial again to hear the past smile again. Radio, I miss you so.
Once again, it's time for Yesteryear. A look back at your favorite dramas, westerns, comedies, and musical variety shows from the golden age of radio. Here's your host for Yesteryear, Craig Roberts.
Time once again to settle into your favorite easy chair for another hour of vintage radio. Later on, we'll bring a stop to crime with Gangbusters and the Cincinnati Narcotics Ring. But first, some adventure out west with Hopalong Cassidy. Hopalong Cassidy came to Mutual in January of 1950 after early day TV screenings of the 1930s films had made the character once again a national sensation. Back in 1934, Harry Sherman got rights to the film and hired William Boyd to play Hoppy. Hoppy would never smoke, always believed in fair play, and forever refused to touch liquor. In the radio program, Hopalong Cassidy was a distinctive cowboy detective show. The listeners seldom knew the identity of the evil ones until Hoppy tripped them up and brought them to justice. Hoppy was foreman of the Bar 20 Ranch, but spent far more time chasing down criminals than punching cows. Hopalong's companion in adventure was grizzled old California Carlson, played by Andy Clyde. First heard Sundays for General Mills, Cassidy moved to Saturday on CBS in 1950 through the end of the show in 1952. Return with us now to those fabulous days of yesteryear with Hopalong Cassidy and the Red Death from April of 1950. Another classic program from the radio vault of yesteryear.
Major Bowes, I miss the shadow nose, Fred Allen's alley folks, the laughter of Duffy's Tavern, Helen Trent, oh, then we went to Can You Top This? Suspense in the Whistler sent those shivers up our spines. Uncle Don, I wish that he was on. Jack Armstrong, Merton, Marge, Amos, and Andy. I long to turn the dial again to hear the past smile again. Radio, I miss you. Sodio, vodio, dodio, do. Radio,
it's Hopalong Cassidy. With action and suspense, out of the Old West comes the most famous hero of them all, Hopalong Cassidy, starring William Boyd. The Ring of the Silver Spurs heralds the most amazing man ever to ride the prairies of the early West, Hopalong Cassidy. This famous hero thrills his 60 million fans with action and dangerous adventure. In the role of Hopalong Cassidy is the popular star of the motion picture series, William Boyd. And appearing as that laughable old character, California, is Andy Clyde. Now to our story, The Red Death. It was a long ride to make, even for a friend like Kit Cavanaugh. South from the cool rolling hills of the Bar 20 to the Mesa Country, from a land marked with place names like Peepsite and Deadwood, to the Alkali Desert still carrying the stamp of the Spaniards, to the Arena de la Muerte, the desert of death, to Alta Mesa and to the Rio Andiendo, the mysterious stream which suddenly vanishes underneath the ground.
Well, California.
Well, Hoppy.
That's it ahead.
That's what ahead?
The Rio Andiendo.
The
Disappearing River.
She drops under the ground right there and never shows up again.
Corn sure nasty of her, considering the country to the south. 120 miles of the gall-blamous, dry, buzzard-infested stretch of desert this side of Haiti.
How do you feel?
Sore feet. Sore seat and a powerful thirst.
Well, we'll be down at Kit's ranch in a day or two.
If we ain't buzzard bait for then, which way you reckon we're going to push them cattle of his?
Right up through the desert past here.
I knew it, I knew it. It's times like this when I know that I should have retired 10 years ago. If I'd had the brains of a jackass, I...
Now, don't underrate yourself. You're smarter than any jackass I ever knew.
Well, there's a nice run.
And it won't be much of a trek pushing 500 head up the arena.
All right, Hoppy. Just do me one favor. You ride back in the Dragon, keep an eye out for straggling doggies. If you see one flat in its face in that alkali dust, just handle it gentle. Of course, it will be me.
Ah, come on. Let's get down to the stream and fill up our canteen. It'll be dark in a few minutes. We can cool off down there and hit the desert after sundown.
What's that?
Shots over there. Come on. No use, California. He's gone.
Did you get a look at his horse?
Ah, too dark.
Oh, that critter was fast as a streak. Hey, what you picking up there in the trail?
Oh, nothing. Where'd the shots come from?
Down there by the stream.
Come on, let's take a look.
Probably someone potting at a jackrabbit.
Yeah? Why do you ride off like a posse with that thing?
Well, that's a good question.
Wait, hold it.
Huh?
Look, you know, against that rock over there, next to the water.
You're right. It weren't a jackrabbit.
Come on. Well, I'll be...
Hoppy, a man.
Yeah, but look at him.
Red. He's red as a beet. His clothes, his face, everything.
Yeah, and he's not only red, he's dead.
It's 2 days now since the shots and the fleeing horsemen led Hoppy and California to their amazing discovery at the edge of the Rio Andeando, the body of a man colored a brilliant red from head to foot. Meanwhile, at the ranch house of Kid Cavanaugh...
You know something, Kid? I don't think you're being very smart.
Why not?
You'll never get anywhere with this outfit. You know that.
Well, I'm driving 500 ahead north in a couple of days, Cantrell. It's nothing to sneeze at. Besides, there's something else.
What's that?
You haven't told me why you want to buy me out.
What do you mean? I just finished telling you. Even if you are short of water, you've got some good grazing here. With my water, I can build this up to 1,000 head. Besides, I need the right away.
Now, look, I've only been here a couple of years, but I think I know what's going on around here. A dozen ranches and one miserable town all squeezing out every drop of water there is. This country won't support one more beef critter than is here already. So don't you tell me you could put 500 head more on this place if you bought it.
I offered you a fair price, didn't I?
Yeah. Yeah, too fair. If you'd made it a couple thousand less, I might have thought you were on the square.
Okay, Kip. For now.
For now?
Yeah. Never can tell. Something might happen to change your mind.
What? Kip!
What is it, Martha?
I don't know. Something's wrong.
Huh?
The cattle out by the corral. They act like they're sick or something.
Sick?
You see what I mean, Kip?
No. No, I don't.
Well, just think it over, will you? By the way, your friend Cassidy's in town. I just saw him heading for the sheriff's office.
Now, take it easy, gents. If you think I'm going to swallow a crazy yarn about a blood-red corpse...
But that's just what it was, Sheriff.
We done buried him there, right by the river. Marked the grave with a heap of rocks.
Red?
His clothes, his hands, his face, everything. We'd have packed him down here, but we were loaded up already, and with 100 miles of desert to cross...
Yeah, but red. A dead man that's red ain't he...
What's that, Sheriff?
Oh, this here's Doc Galloway. I sent for him when you told me about this.
Hello, Hoppy.
Howdy, Doc.
Doc, what'd you say if I told you these gents ran across a red corpse?
Red?
Yeah.
Where?
Rio Andeando. Right where she disappears.
Near the water?
That's right.
It can't be. The Red Death.
The what?
The Red Death. It swept through this section years ago. Sort of a legend now, but it does have a basis of truth.
What are you talking about?
The springs, the water holes all through here suddenly turned red, became poisonous. Killed humans, horses, everything. Like the plague. Probably a bacteria, some kind of germ that suddenly increased beyond all reason and...
All this wasn't anything like that, Doc. This man died from something else entirely.
44 Irish. Sudden concentration of lead in the sacroiliac.
He was shot. We got a glimpse of the killer as he rode off.
Well, I'll send a deputy up after the corpus delicti, and maybe we'll know more about this red business. Reckon we'll be able to find the grave if you marked it, like you say.
Hoppy.
Kid, how are you, boy?
Well, I'm okay, I hope. California.
Kid.
Well, you don't know how glad I am you're here.
Well, I'll be...
No, wait a minute, Doc. I want to see you, too. Want you to come out to my ranch, if you can.
What's wrong?
I don't know. A bunch of my cattle suddenly took sick like they were poisoned or something.
Poisoned?
Yeah. And a funny thing. That spring of mine, the water's running red. What do you make of it, Doc?
I don't know, kid.
Come on, Doc, tell me.
Please, Doc.
Well, I'm afraid they are poisoned.
I knew it.
Martha, please.
I can't help it, Kit. It almost seems like something's working against
me. Look, dear, it's not going to help
anything. Oh, I know it. I guess I'm just a coward or a quitter or something. It's just that it's happened this way every time. We build a lot of hope. We start out telling ourselves that this time we'll lick
Martha.
It.
Martha.
What's the world got against us, Kit?
Martha, you don't know how you're making me feel.
Not your fault, Doc.
I sold you this ranch.
You couldn't know about this.
I know that, but... Look, let me do this, will you?
What?
I'm all alone. I have no family. I've got plenty to get by on. What if we just forget there ever was a deal?
You mean you'd...
Doc!
Let me test the water first. We'll make sure before we go any further... If it's what I think it is, I'm willing to call it off. You know the old saying, satisfaction guaranteed or your money back?
Well, I don't know what to say, Doc.
Well, then, don't say it.
I'll say this much. I don't do business that way. If I took on a load of poison water with this ranch, I'm stuck with it.
Kid.
I'm sorry, Martha.
Here comes Cantrell.
Yeah. Brace yourselves, everyone.
What's the verdict, Doc? Red plague?
If it is, you'll know soon enough, Cantrell.
Yeah?
When it hit this country last time, it took every ranch in the district.
Funny thing, Doc. I'm not worried at all. And Kit?
Yeah?
The offer's still good if you want to sell out. Only the price has changed. It goes down $1,000 a day until you make up your mind.
Maybe you'd better get out of here, Cantrell.
Sure, Doc. But just remember that, Kit. $1,000 a day.
Hoppy.
Yeah?
Would it hurt too much for you to wise me up or sort of goings on? Where are we headed?
There it is.
Sure is. What?
The Navajo Saloon. Finest drink emporium in Alta Mesa.
You going in on another sarsaparilla binge?
I want to talk to the proprietor. He's an old friend of mine.
For a teetotaler, you know more bartenders than any man living. Sometimes I got my doubts.
His name's Eustace. Eustace Culpepper. And if he ran for president, I'd vote for him. Well, here we are. After you, California.
Thank you, Mr. Cassidy.
Well, Bill Cassidy.
Eustace.
Bill. Name's Hopalong, mister.
He knew me when my name was Bill California. California Carlson, meet Eustace Culpepper.
Howdy. I'll be with you in a shake, Bill.
Sure, go ahead.
Now, Fred, what...
Sit down, California. Excuse me, stranger.
Not at all.
Hoppy, what's this got to do with them pies and steers?
Shh, not here. You new in town, stranger?
Just coming through.
My name's Cassidy. This is California Carlson.
I'm Mike Reardon.
Howdy.
Just passing through, you say?
That's right.
You in the cattle business, Reardon?
Nope.
I see.
Quiet in here, ain't it?
I like it quiet.
Now, Bill, or hop along it is now, huh? It was Bill when I knew him up north.
Nah, Eustace.
Oh, them were the days, eh? Hop along. Let me tell you, he was a tiger at a church social.
Eustace ran the drugstore up north when I was a kid.
Well, is that so? Look, Eustace, maybe you and me could...
Oh, no, you don't, California. Tell me, Eustace, what did you do with your equipment when you gave up the drugstore and took the bartending?
Oh, still got it. Stashed away in the barn out back.
You remember anything about the drug business?
Sure do. No, I went into patent medicine for a while. Put out the slickest concoction you ever laid a tonsil on.
Mm.
Tasted wonderful. Wouldn't cure nothing, but I sold gallons of it.
You're just the fellow I'm looking for. California. You sit here with Mr. Reardon while Eustace and I take a trip out to the barn.
Well, we'll just let her set till she clears up.
You sure you're right?
Why not?
Well, you haven't run a test like this for 30 years.
The equipment's rusty, but I ain't.
I hope not. This is pretty important.
Where'd you get this?
Down at Kit Cavanaugh's spring. His stock turned up sick this morning.
What makes you think it was...
I don't think anything yet. That's why I got you to drag out this equipment.
Yeah. Funny, ain't it? That pink color.
Yeah. How's it look now?
Well, might be able to... Yeah. Hold the lantern up so I can look through it.
There you are.
Yeah.
What about it?
You're right about that water, Bill.
What's in it?
Arsenic. That answer your question?
That answers the little one.
What's the big one?
What's a dead man colored red from top to toe sitting by a stream 120 miles from here got to do with a batch of sick cows on Kit Cavanaugh's ranch?
Well, now That's quite a question.
Indeed it is, Eustace. Indeed it is.
It's late in the evening, and Hoppy in California returned from Alta Mesa to Kit Cavanaugh's ranch at the edge of the desert.
Hoppy.
Yeah, Kit?
Do me a favor, will you? Stop pacing the floor.
Checking the motion. I'm getting nervous.
I'm sorry. This thing's beginning to get me.
It's simple enough. I bought myself a spring full of poison water.
It's not that simple.
Why not? This isn't the first arsenic well around here.
I bet it's the first one turned arsenic overnight. No, there's more to it than that.
Cantrell's still willing to buy.
You sell to him and I'll break your neck.
You're a little late.
Huh? You mean you...
No, I didn't sign anything, not yet. But every day I wait cost me $1,000.
What did you tell him?
Said I'd be willing to talk business in the morning.
Now, wait a minute. You listen to me, kid.
I'm through listening to anyone. Whose ranch is it? Yours? Who's going broke if the cattle die? You?
Kid.
Oh, I... Sorry, Hoppy. I guess I'm falling to pieces, what with Martha and all to think about.
Sure, I know. But there's something more to it. Something none of us know about. Look, the ranch goes sour. Spring runs poison. Head look at Cantrell, willing to buy. And at a pretty good price, too. And Doc ready to give you back your money and take title for the spread. Does that make sense? No. I can't help feeling all of us has got something to do with that dead man we found up north.
I'm a doggone, Hoppy. How can that happen?
I don't know. Call it a hunch if you want.
Everybody's getting jumpy around here. Now, take that deadhead feller we sat with back at Eustace Culpepper's saloon.
What was that, California?
That feller we sat with.
What did you call him?
Deadhead.
Why deadhead?
Oh, well, that's about the only thing he'd tell me. Don't know his business or nothing, but
When I asked him how he got to Alta Mesa, he said something about he deadheaded in on the stage.
You're sure he said that?
Yeah, but what... That's it.
I knew there was a connection between that man at Disappearing River and this thing here.
What do you think?
I'm going down to the hotel. He's probably staying there. I want to talk to that bird right now.
Sorry, Mr. Reardon just checked out, and I don't know where he went.
Could he leave town?
I run the hotel here, not the transportation business. Now, I don't mind telling you I'm busy.
Yeah, sure.
Henry?
Yeah, Eustace?
Never get up to heaven that way, Henry.
What is it, Eustace?
Oh, Henry's straying a mite from the gospel. He knows he hustled Mr. Reardon out the back door of this flea bag not a half hour ago.
Eustace, show him.
Henry, I seen it with my own eyes. He rode off toward Lazy Sea Ranch with Steve Cantrell.
Thanks, Eustace.
Eustace got paper.
Now, you never busted your word to Cantrell, Henry. I mean, for that $5 you slipped it to shut up.
Wait.
After all, 'twas me that told Cassidy.
I don't like this, Cantrell. I'm not used to being shanghaied.
No bad feelings, Redden. Just want a little private talk, that's all. I know why you're here, and I think I can help you. That is, if you play along with me.
Go on, Cantrell.
I can deliver what you want tomorrow morning. At a price, of course. There's only one thing.
What's that?
When are you planning to make this thing public?
Tomorrow. I'm going to call a meeting of the cattlemen.
Suppose you were to hold off till I get this little thing of mine straightened out.
Can't do that.
I'm afraid you'll have to.
What kind of a remark is that, Cantrell?
Call it a threat if you want to. You're riding up to my ranch tonight, and you're going to stay there until the... Wait a minute.
Go on, Cantrell. I am interested, too.
Cassidy.
Go ahead. Reach for your gun.
Okay.
Better trot home to the Lazy Sea and soak your hand. We'll be seeing you at the cattleman's meeting tomorrow, Cantrell.
Maybe sooner than that, Cassidy.
The man talks tough.
You'll get over it. Now, what about you?
All right, what about me?
Don't you think you'd better tell me why you're here?
Sure. At the meeting tomorrow night.
You already gave yourself away, Reardon. When you told my partner you deadheaded into Alta Mesa on the stagecoach. Only a railroad man would say that.
All right, so I'm a railroad man.
And the only reason I can see for a railroad man to be in Alta Mesa right now is to lay out the location for a railroad across the arena at De La Muerte. To maybe link up with the line on the West End.
You're a pretty good guesser.
I try to be. But when you start thinking railroad, you automatically start looking around for something Alta Mesa hasn't got. In quantity, at least.
Water.
That's right.
Okay, Cassidy, you win. It is a railroad, and it is water. We sent a man here weeks ago to look the place over. Last we heard from him, he said he'd worked out a brilliant idea to find it for us.
Then what?
Nothing. He dropped out of sight.
I think I know where you'll find him.
Yeah?
In the back room of the sheriff's office, stretched out on a table, covered from head to foot with red dye and pretty dead.
You mean?
Yeah. California and I found him two nights ago, 120 miles north of here, at the edge of the Rio Andendio. You know, Reardon, that's something else we ought to take up at the cattlemen's meeting.
Hiya, Cantrell.
Hiya, Doc. Good to see you.
All right. May I have your attention, please? You've already been told that the railroad I represent is planning a line across the Arena del Muerte to link up with the other side. I don't need to go into what that'll mean to this section. Here at the edge of the desert, a town will spring up that'll grow into one of the big cattle shipping centers of the Southwest. But all of our thinking up to now has run up against a stone wall. The one thing that keeps this section down. The thing that limits the number of cattle you can raise, the thing that keeps this town down to a crossroads, is water.
That's right. We've been talking about that.
Every drop of water available here now is being used. We'll need 100 times as much if we're to think about running the railroad through here or building the town to go with it.
How are you going to do that? Can't get water where there ain't none.
Now, let me draw a diagram on the blackboard here. Here's a triangle. At the point of it, at the top, is the spot where the Rio Andiendo disappears into the earth, 120 miles north of here.
Well, what good's that doing us?
If we could tap that river under the ground, we'd have all the water we need and more besides.
Gone. What do you think of that?
Now, along the bottom line of the triangle is the Alta Mesa country right here with its dozen or so ranches, all existing on the seats that come to the surface. The engineer we sent here a few weeks ago figured one of those seats might connect with the river itself under the desert. If we could find which one, it'd be simple to develop it, to drill down and tap the main stream. But which one of the seats?
Well, there's a whopping lot of them.
So our engineer figured out a simple plan. He rode north to the point where the river disappears and poured red dye into it for 3 days. Sure enough, day before yesterday, the spring at one of the ranches here ran red. The Kit Cavanaugh Ranch out at the edge of the mesa.
Kit!
Must, honey, our ranch.
Oh, Kit!
Mr. Cavanaugh now holds the development of this section in his hands. I hope we'll be able to work with him in following it through.
Just a minute, please. Just a minute. There's one thing more. Mr. Reardon left it to me to mention that the railroad engineer isn't with us tonight to see how his plan succeeded. Because someone in this room, who had an eye on the money that water'd bring here, murdered the engineer and left his body up there by the Rio Andiendo.
Say, right here.
I think we can find out who that is.
Well, I can't.
His horse dropped a shoe on the trail up there right after the killing. He rode him over 120 miles of desert trail on a bare hoof. The left hind one. Everyone will keep his seat while my partner checks the horses at the tie rack outside. If the horse isn't there, we'll all stay right here while the ranches are searched till we find him.
Let me out of here.
Hey, you got a gun.
Put down that gun, you.
Doc Galloway.
Gosh, Hoppy, I don't know how to thank you for all
your... Oh, forget it, kid. Let's think about those cattle we're going to start north tomorrow.
Oh, that's not... Doggone it, Hoppy, you sure pulled the rabbit out of the hat with that horseshoe. I was wondering what you picked up back there at the Rio.
Yeah? You know, seeing old Eustace Culpepper reminded me of something I learned when I was a kid and my mother made me go to Sunday school. Something in the Bible that says, the guilty flee when no man pursueth.
How come?
Well, you saw that horseshoe, didn't you, California?
No. Why?
That thing I picked up on the trail had been there since 49. And besides, it never belonged to a horse anyway. It belonged to a mule.
Hoppy and California are hitting the trail homeward again, and after this little adventure, the Bar 20 is going to be a welcome sight. Hope you enjoyed this friendly visit and that you'll remember to tune in next time these two fighting cowboys get involved in another thrilling escapade. Hop Along Cassidy, starring William Boyd, is transcribed and produced in the West by Walter White, Jr. The Red Death was written by Harold Swanton. All stories are based upon the characters created by Clarence E. Mulford. This is a Commodore production.
From April of 1950, it's been Hopalong Cassidy with the Red Death. In a moment, Gangbusters and Cincinnati Narcotics Ring as this edition of Yesteryear continues.
You're listening to listener-supported Swing Street Radio. Swing Street Radio, where the big bands swing. The sounds of the golden age of radio continue with Yesteryear. Here's Craig Roberts.
Gangbusters grew out of an earlier show called G-Men, which was first heard on NBC for Chevrolet in 1935. This best remembered of all police programs came about in the summer of 1935 when Phillips H. Lord talked to NBC about developing a thoroughly authoritative pilot series about the government's war against crime. Lord sold the idea to Chevrolet, then flew to Washington to gather official blessings from J. Edgar Hoover, head of the FBI. Hoover agreed to let Lord use FBI files on closed cases, provided the Bureau could review the scripts, and the new series was off and running. The clues element of the program became one of the most successful aspects of the show. After each play, nationwide alarms were broadcast for actual criminals wanted by the FBI or police. Fine details of the criminal's appearance, with special emphasis on scars and distinguishing marks, helped capture 110 wanted men in the first 3 years of the run. In 1948, the program moved to CBS for General Foods, which carried it on Saturdays until 1953. It sustained on CBS until 1955, when Gangbusters was last heard on Mutual in the 55-57 season. Return with us now to those exciting days of yesteryear with Gangbusters and the Cincinnati Narcotics Ring, another classic radio moment from the archives of yesteryear.
Now, Gangbusters, presented in cooperation with police and federal law enforcement departments throughout the United States, the only national program that brings you authentic police case histories.
Cincinnati Narcotics Ring, whose deadly dealings in drugs spread across two nations, until the Royal Canadian Mounties, the Federal Narcotics Bureau, and Cincinnati Police cornered the ringleader in a final duel to death.
Gangbusters has asked the Honorable Clem W. Mers, Chief of Detectives of the Cincinnati Police Department, to narrate by proxy tonight's case. Chief Mers, I know the case you're going to tell us about tonight has an international flavor.
That's true, Don Gardner. But most important, it shows the effectiveness of cooperation between federal, local, and Canadian authorities, despite the handicaps of international borderlines.
Well, it sounds as though you have quite a case for us, Chief Mers. Why don't you start right in?
All right, Don. Suppose we begin just a few months ago in the city of Toronto, Ontario. Late one night, two men were in a room on the fourth floor of a second-rate hotel near the Union Station. One, a middle-aged, bald fellow, strangely nicknamed Sonny, sat on the edge of the bed, while the other, Big Jim Labard, occupied the only upholstered chair in the room. After a moment, Big Jim got up and walked to the dresser to pour drinks to bind the deal they'd just closed.
Okay, Sonny. We'll have a drink on it.
Take it easy with mine.
What's the matter, Sonny? Our Canadian whiskey bites a little hard?
It all bites hard after you tease it too much.
There you are, Sonny. May you make a fortune out of the deal.
Much obliged, Jim, for wishing me a fortune. You already made yours when a licking I took.
Nobody asked you to come here and buy. You want, you got to pay the price. Well, here's luck.
400 apiece. That's the first time I ever paid 400 an ounce in the last. Here's the last.
Look, Sonny. An ounce of heroin is just as hard to come by in Canada as it is in the States.
Yeah.
And I'm the hottest guy in Toronto just now. You got three King's warrants out for me. I should lay low. If there is a deal, I got to make.
Okay, you may. Don't beef. When do you deliver?
When are you leaving? All you got to do is walk across the hall to my room. You can pick up the package anytime.
What do you mean, pick up the package? I ain't carrying 30 pieces over the border. You got to deliver to Cincinnati.
You take it with you, Sonny.
Who are you kidding? My understanding of the deal was you delivered to Cincinnati. I ain't running no drugs across the border. That ain't my business.
It ain't my business either, Sonny. Not at 400 an ounce, it ain't.
Okay, you won't deliver to Cincinnati. The deal's off.
Sit down there.
What's the matter with you?
You made a deal, you stick to it.
Not if I got to run the border, I don't.
It'll cost you an extra 100 apiece if I got to deliver to Cincinnati.
Who do you think you're holding up?
You.
An extra $3,000 for running the border with a 2-pound package? What do you think I am, crazy?
You can run the border for nothing, Sonny. It won't cost you a dime.
Okay, you robbed me. When do you deliver?
Won't be in a hurry. It'll get there. Come on across the hall to my room. I'll show you what you bought.
That's always a good idea, seeing what you buy.
Have a look in the hall.
It's okay. There's not a soul around.
All right, you can go. Wait a minute.
What?
Back inside, fast.
What's the matter?
Somebody's in my room.
You're crazy.
Did you see that light over the transom? I didn't leave no light.
Law?
How should I know? We'll find out quick.
Don't be a dope. Stick in here a while.
I got about 50 pieces of heroin over there. I got to protect my investment.
If you've got any sense, you'll duck that gun. You'll stick here.
Come on.
You don't get me involved killing no cops.
I need help and you're rich.
Now look,
Shut up and open that door. Go on. The door was on latch. Walk across the hall. Open up and jump back.
Now look.
Go on. Hold it. Okay. Open. All right, don't move. Well, what are you after, sister?
I'm sorry. I must have made a mistake in the rooms.
Is that so?
Yes. I must be on the wrong floor.
Sonny.
Yeah?
Come in and shut the door.
Really? It is a mistake.
Mm-hmm. As long as you made a mistake, you figured you might as well take advantage of it, huh? Is that why you piled up my clothes, ready to go out the door with them?
Take it easy, Jim. Maybe she's Law.
Law? She's a sneak thief. Ain't that right, sister?
Please. I've never done anything before. Don't call the police, please.
What's your story?
I'm stuck in Toronto. I want to get back home to Montreal. I had to get fair somehow.
So you pick on me, huh?
I didn't know it was you. I didn't care who it was. I tried every door. Please don't call the police.
Jim, she didn't find the, you know...
Don't worry. That'll take a good deal of looking. What's your name?
Lucille. Lucille Beauvais. You won't call the police?
No. I don't think so. You're a little too pretty to rot in jail. I think I'll give you your lesson myself. This is what you need. A lot of it you need. That ought to cure you.
Get rid of it, Jim.
All I wanted was fair to Montreal, that's all.
Well, you can walk it. Go on, get out.
Oh, all right. Thanks. Thank you very much.
Thank me. For what?
For not calling the police. Goodbye.
Wait a minute.
Yes?
Lucille, didn't you say?
Yes.
How'd you like to earn car fare to Montreal?
Earn it? How?
Are you off your nut, Jim? Get rid of it.
Stick your head out of this. What's in Montreal?
That's home. I'm broke. There's no place else to go.
You got a job, Lucille.
I have.
Jim.
Sure you have. Now go in there and get rid of those tears. I'll tell you all about it when you feel better.
Okay. In there?
Yeah. Go on.
Thanks. Thanks ever so much. You know, you're really nice.
How crazy can you get, Jim?
Did you ever see such eyes? Black as the ace of spades.
What do you want to get mixed up with a lousy sneak thief for?
She was telling the truth. It's the first thing she ever tried.
Who are you kidding? They all got the same story.
She was telling the truth. Dreamed about running into one like her.
How can a guy as hot as you take a chance? How do you know she won't crack the law the minute she finds out?
You want your 30 pieces delivered to Cincinnati, don't you?
What's that got to do with it?
Not much. Except little Lucille is going to carry him across the border for me.
Oh, well, I don't care how, just as long as it gets across.
It will. Tomorrow you take a train to Windsor.
And you?
I'll drive with Lucille. You check into the Buckingham in Windsor. You'll hear from me by Tuesday night. So you've never been on a trip across to the States, Lucille?
I've always wanted to go.
There you have your wish tomorrow. First thing in the morning. Let's have a drink on it, huh?
Jim, why do we have to lie to them? Why do we have to tell them we're married?
Oh, saves a lot of unnecessary questions, baby, that's all.
How?
Well, if it's just a couple from Toronto going on a little vacation, there's nothing to it. We drive right across.
Well, I suppose it's all right.
Sure, it's all right.
Only, I don't have the clothes to take a vacation.
Wait till we get across to Detroit. You'll get nice clothes.
Honest, I can't get over it all. Especially when I think I could have been in jail. How could I have done such a dumb thing?
Well, at least you picked the right room.
You've really been swell.
That's because I want to be. Don't worry about it, you...
What's the matter?
Sit still and keep your mouth shut. There's two guys coming to cops.
Cops?
Mm-hmm.
Quiet. for a good time, Big Jim?
Yeah. Yeah, I like a good time as well as anybody.
Jim! Oh! Get out of my way.
You stay with her.
Hello?
Sonny.
Who's this, Jim?
Yeah.
Had some trouble?
Plenty. A couple of cops made me in the joint. I just did get away.
You didn't lose the goods?
No, I got the goods. It was in the car. They hauled in Lucille.
So what? As long as they didn't get you with the goods.
You got a pencil handy?
Yeah, why?
I'm going to give you the name of a lawyer. Get hold of him. Tell him to get her rid or make bond for her. Anything.
Are you kidding?
I want her out, do you hear?
You don't need her to get the stuff across, and you know it.
Get hold of that lawyer and get her out. You get on a train and head for Cincinnati. I'll see you there in a couple of days. Have my dough ready because I'm going to need it. Don't forget the lawyer. If you don't get out, the 30 pieces stay in the
pen. So, Don, the fugitive, Big Jim Labarde, a notorious Canadian dealer in narcotics, had a narrow escape from capture. The next time he was face to face with police officers, a shower of bullets closed the gap between them.
Now, Gangbusters. You were telling us, Chief Murs, that the Canadian narcotics dealer, Big Jim Labarde, narrowly missed arrest in Windsor, Ontario, the night before he planned to smuggle 30 ounces of heroin into the United States.
That's right, Don, but the police did pick up the girl, Lucille Beauvais, whom Labarde planned to use as an aide in the smuggling venture. There was no evidence against her, and she didn't even know the identity of Labarde, so she was released shortly after dark the next night. Walked out of the House of Detention for Women. A stranger in town, Lucille had no particular place to go, and she headed toward a brightly lit restaurant, which was the first thing she saw as she walked out of the jail door.
Lucille.
What?
Keep walking. Keep your head straight.
You told me who you are.
About to tell you myself before I had to leave. Meet me in an hour. Victoria Park. Bench under the Queen's statue. Make sure you aren't followed. Change cabs a couple of times. Here, here's some dough.
I don't know whether I want to meet you.
Be there. I'll see you. Back here in the shadows. I wanted to see if you had the place set up with cops.
You know I wouldn't do anything like that.
I didn't know. Mind if I come around and sit down?
No.
Well, what'd they tell you about me? I'm a pretty mean customer, huh?
That's what they said.
Would you still like to go across to the States?
To help you smuggle dope?
Do you care why? Cigarette?
Yes, thanks. I didn't know what to think of you bringing me from Toronto, wanting to take me to the States, especially when you caught me robbing your room. I thought maybe you fell in love with me.
Maybe I did.
You wanted to use me. You had a purpose.
If I only wanted to use you, why should I take the chance meeting you tonight? If they caught me, it'd be 10 years, baby, at least.
That's what they told me.
Come here.
Please, no.
I said to come here.
Please, Chip.
There. Does that look like I just want to use you?
I want to go back home to Montreal.
You think you're too good for me? You think a sneak thief is any better than I am?
It's not that, Chip.
Come to the States with me.
No, I can't.
You want it when you know it.
All right, I want.
What are you waiting for?
All right, Jim. I'll go with you.
Sure you will.
But they're watching all the borders, Jim, I know. They've got the U.S. Customs on the lookout. Oh, you'll get caught.
Yeah, plans have changed, baby. We're not going as tourists anymore. Now, come on.
All right.
Thank you.
Pardon me, Jim. I'm freezing.
Hold yourself, baby. Got to keep my eye out for the patrol. How much longer, Mac?
Another 15 minutes, maybe. Keep your voice down. Caddy's over the water.
Well, Detroit sure looks near. Looks like it could reach out for those lights.
15 minutes, baby. That's all.
15 minutes seems like a century.
Get it done.
What are you worried about? Isn't it? Hey, turn around, Mac. At the patrol boat?
Oh, Jim. Jim.
Oh, shut up.
Jim, what are we going to do?
Don't you know when to keep quiet?
Jim. Who's hurting me?
Then keep quiet.
Stay along the boat. Maybe they'll pass us by.
Jim, if one of their searchers...
Shut up. Jim, drop the package overboard.
Not on your life.
Drop the package and they have us for nothing.
I don't throw 15 grand overboard. I fight for it.
Jim, please.
It goes over, Jim.
Watch out, Mac. You'll be the first to get shot.
Aye, very well.
The boat's going away, I think.
Aye, it is. It's a pleasure craft.
Jim.
That was a squeaker.
Yeah.
Well, let's get to Detroit.
Yeah. Go on. Row.
Lead off, Captain. Agent Laney of the Narcotics Bureau, Treasury Department, is here to see you.
Laney? Laney, is he from the Cincinnati office?
Just a second, Captain. You from the local office, Mr. Laney?
No, I'm out of Washington.
He's from Washington, Captain.
Ask Mr. Laney to come in.
Right. Right through that door, Mr. Laney.
Thanks. Come in, Laney. Hello, Captain.
I'm glad to meet you. Have a chair.
Thanks. I'm in Cincinnati on a special job, Captain.
How can we help?
Did you ever handle a narcotics dealer, Sonny Wilton?
Yes, we've handled him.
Do you know where I can put my hands on him?
At the moment, no, but I'll put a couple of my boys to checking with you.
Well, we're more interested in a guy he's been dealing with lately, Big Jim Labard, a Canadian.
You think he's in Cincinnati, too?
Well, it's just a tip. Canadian Mounties have been looking for him on 3 warrants, narcotics cases.
Mm-hmm.
They picked up a boatman who's been running smugglers across the Detroit River. Their information is that Big Jim made a deal with Sonny and came to Cincinnati.
Okay, we'll be on the lookout for them both.
Mounties almost got their hands on this Big Jim last week. He saw them coming and ducked out of a bar. They couldn't shoot in the kind of the crowd. But they did get a girl he was with.
Oh? How does she figure in it here?
Well, they had no charge to hold her on. According to the boatman, Big Jim just took her along when he smuggled in the narcotics.
I see. Excuse me a second.
Sure. Yes, Captain.
Ask Mayor and Stuss to step in here right away.
Yes, sir.
They're a couple of my best men on this kind of deals.
Oh, good. We don't have too much to go on, Captain, but the Canadian authorities are doing a little further checking on the girl. If they find out anything, we'll hear about it. They want Labard and want him bad.
Jim.
What?
I don't feel like going out and drinking and staying up all night again tonight.
I do.
Do you think it's time we got out of Cincinnati?
Sonny's friends are good people to know.
Well, I don't care for them.
Well, act like you care for them. This is business.
Oh, Jim, I want to go home. I want to go to Montreal.
You don't stop nagging me about going home. I'll give you something really to nag about.
All right, Jim.
Made a lot of dough, Sonny. Good chance to make more.
We're not taking that boat trip again.
Yep. You're going to help with the load.
More dope.
No. You know, something is just as hard to come by in Canada. Guns.
Guns?
Yeah. A lot of guys I know will pay a good price for a heater. And that's what we're taking back. A good stock of guns.
Didn't you make enough money?
There's never enough money. And listen, baby. Wake up when we get to that party. These are people I'm doing business with. I don't want them to think I got a corpse traveling with me.
All right. I'll wake up.
Captain Hartman.
Laney, Narcotics Bureau, Captain.
Oh, hello, Laney. Anything new?
I think so. I just spoke to Washington. They got a message from the Canadian Mounted Police. They had a mail cover on the home of the girl's mother in Montreal.
Oh?
A letter showed up from her.
Mail from Cincinnati?
Yep. With a return address on Maple Avenue. went by and looked at the building. It's a big apartment house.
Uh-huh. I suppose we put a plant there and wait for them to come out.
That's all right with me.
Okay, you come on by here, Laney, and we'll see what arrangements we can make. Hello, Laney. How's it going?
You haven't seen a soul that looks like a bar to the girl, Captain.
Well, a lot of people live in that apartment house. Stick here long enough and we'll spot them.
Yeah, I suppose so. If we... Wait a minute. Somebody coming out.
Yeah.
No, it's not Big Jim. Like I say, if we...
No, it's not Big Jim, but... Wouldn't you like Sonny?
Is that him?
I couldn't miss Sonny 2 blocks away. Come on.
Right there.
Let me handle this, Laney. I know him.
Right ahead.
He's coming this way. Let's stop and light a cigarette.
Mm.
Have one?
Thanks.
Light?
Thank you.
Where do you think you're going, Sonny?
Hey.
Police officers.
Is that so?
Where's Big Jim?
I don't know what you're talking about.
He lives in that building and you know it.
Why'd you go in and get him?
Okay. We're going to knock on every door. And you're going to be right in front of us.
No, no, no. Look, you don't get me mixed up in this.
Which is his apartment?
He's got guns. He's got plenty of guns. He'll use them. You don't get me to knock on his door.
Which is his apartment, Sonny?
H5. Look, don't take me up there. Haul me in. He'll use those guns.
All right, all right. We'll see that you get a nice seat on the sidelines.
Good. That's where I want to be, on the sidelines.
You keep your eye on him, Laney. I want to call downtown and get a couple more men out here. We may need them.
Yeah, I'll say you will.
Go on, Captain. I'll watch him till you get back.
What?
Come on over here and give me a hand with this stuff.
Oh, Jim, I'm busy trying to pack. What is it?
Let me get the stuff out of that drawer and into the carton. Well, come on.
Jim, I don't want to handle guns.
Guns are the safest thing in the world when you know how to handle them. Come on, help me pack them.
Are they loaded?
Sure they're loaded. What good do you think they'd be if they weren't?
I can't touch them.
You want to go back to Montreal? You'll give me a hand.
No.
Listen.
Jim.
When I tell you something, I mean it.
Please, you're hurting.
That's too easy. Now, give me a hand.
Who's that? Expecting anybody?
Well, I'll answer it. You'll find out.
Yes? Who is it?
Sonny, open up. I want to see Jim.
Jim, it's Sonny.
Well, let him in. He can give me a hand.
All right, Sonny, just a minute. Sonny, I thought you were...
We're police officers.
No.
One side.
Jim.
Okay, Jim, get him up quick.
Yeah.
Watch him, he's got a gun.
Jim, no!
Get him! Oh. Watch out!
Oh.
I did it. Come on.
Jim. Jim.
It looks like he's through, miss.
I owed him so much.
I can imagine.
Lead off, call an ambulance.
Yes, sir.
All right, miss. Now let's have the story. From beginning to end.
That, Don, was how Cincinnati police... and agents of the Narcotics Bureau Treasury Department dealt with James Labard, a dangerous fugitive from Canada. The girl, Lucille, was deported to Canada to face various charges. And Sonny Wilton, the Cincinnati narcotics dealer, was held on a charge of parole violation and returned to prison to complete his term.
Well, congratulations, Chief Mers, to all the officers, Cincinnati, federal and Canadian, who showed such excellent coordination in bringing about an end to this dangerous criminal. Tonight's case was dramatized by Stanley Niss and directed by William Sweets, with Frank Reddick and Susan Douglas in leading roles. Don Gardner speaking.
From sometime in the 1950s, there's Gangbusters with Cincinnati Narcotics Ring. Well, I'm afraid that's all the time we have today, but be with us again next week and invite a friend to listen to enjoy more great moments from the golden age of radio. I'm Craig Roberts with those fabulous days of yesteryear. Till next time, so long.
Radio, remember radio. We'd sit and close our eyes and use our imagination. Comedy, mystery, a fireside chat. Together we sat, listening nightly to our favorite show. Radio, I miss you so.
The preceding program, copyright Edgewater Productions, all rights reserved.